series of lessons on Sunday morning called Devoted. I thought honestly that we would probably tap out about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, but it kind of seems like it's one of those things that we just kind of hit a vein and we just keep digging. We're digging for more gold again today. I want to talk to you just about living a life that's devoted towards God. We started talking about it in January, and here we are February, as we talked about prayer and fasting at the first part of the year. We devoted 10 days to seeking God and about how our fast can change us and change our perception of the Word of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, what God wants to do in us and through us and for us. Then we kind of segued a little bit about living a devoted life with separation and consecration and dedication and our life being not consumed with things for ourselves or the flesh and what's going on in the world, but a life and a lifestyle that's consumed with God and His will and His purpose for our life, and being separated from things that would contaminate us and bring us down and alter and really kind of like really mess us up in the future, in the present and the future that God's got for our life. And so I want to encourage you, maybe you haven't heard, maybe you're new coming to church, go on YouTube at, Spectrum Church SD and check out the messages that we've got there in the past, or go on a podcast and you can listen to those as well. I want to direct your attention to a portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 21, that talks about this key part about what Jesus said our life should be about, and also the disciples in a couple of scriptures will find out what they asked Jesus about this subject called prayer. In Matthew chapter 21, it says this, that Jesus went into the temple of God and He drove out those who bought and sold in the temple. And He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." Notice that, "my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. We've looked at this scripture years gone by, and it's a great scripture as we talk about prayer. We talk about the purpose of God and what God wills to do and what He wants to do. But again, Jesus comes into the temple, and He sees things going on that shouldn't be going on. And if you think that Jesus is the little sweet Jesus, with that little funny face and He's holding a lamb, this is Jesus with eyes full of fire and burning. And He comes into the temple, this place that's supposed to be holy and directed toward God, and sacrifices made. And He sees things going on that shouldn't be going on. And He comes in there just like a bull in a china shop. And He turns over tables. And one translation says He made a whip, and He drives guys out and things out, and He's trying to bring divine order and God back into the temple. And He says this, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Listen, what we see here is that Jesus was coming into the physical temple. Now, the scripture says in Corinthians, now we are the temple of God. God dwells in us. God dwells in us. Come on, God dwells in us. And so what happens in our life before Jesus is that our temple is full of crap, pardon me, junk. I can't believe I just said that, so forgive me. It's full of all kinds of stuff going on in our life. And Jesus wants to come in and overturn things. Come on, everybody. Drive things out of our life that don't belong there. Come on, everybody. Come on, wave your hand if you ever said crap in church. Come on, everybody. Oh, all right, okay, y'all didn't. I messed with you there. Come on. Prayer is going to do this in the life of a believer. Prayer is going to overturn. Prayer is going to drive out of your life things that don't belong there. Come on, say it with me. My life will be called a house of prayer. A life of prayer keeps your internal life spiritually clean. A life of prayer will keep your internal life spiritually clean. A life of prayer is going to purify the believer. It's going to keep in what needs to be in, and it's going to keep out what needs to be out. Now, again, what's interesting on the back end of what we found out that Jesus did Remember what it said? After he drove those guys out, overturned the tables, those that sold doves, and he, this my house shall be called a house of prayer. You guys have made it a den of thieves. It says this, that then the blind came in there. Do you remember? And that the lame then came in there. So we see physically what Jesus was doing, but what Jesus was doing was also a spiritual application. So when we get prayer working back in our life, in our temple, what you couldn't see before, you're going to be able to see. Where you couldn't walk and go before, and you thought that life has restricted you, or it's because of your age, or because of your race, or because of your upbringing, or somehow because of sin in your life from past mistakes, that you can't be or do or go where God wants you to go. And Jesus comes in our life, and when prayer is restored, and we get the right purpose of who God is in our life, and the right perspective of Him as Lord and King and Christ and the Anointed One and the Messiah, and He's my God, then all of a sudden I can do everything God wants me to do. I don't feel like I'm limited or restricted. Come on, everybody. Amen? Amen. The disciples come to Jesus one time in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And they say to Jesus in Luke 11, 1, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. What was it about these 12 guys, at least 11 of them, we don't quite know about Judas, but these guys that, what did they experience when they heard Jesus pray? What did they see when they heard Jesus pray? They didn't ask Jesus, teach us to preach. We want to preach like you. They didn't say, Jesus, teach us how to heal. Man, you're doing some crazy stuff. We've never seen anything. Teach us how to heal. Look, teach us, Jesus, how to cast the devils out of those people. They never asked him that. But there was something so unique, something so beyond anything these guys had ever seen, being raised in the Jewish faith, being around it, rabbis, all these different rabbis. There was hundreds of rabbis in Jerusalem, and they all had a little following of people that would then give themselves to that teaching. But they heard Jesus pray, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They were amazed at his prayer life. They were amazed at what they heard him say, and they were amazed at how he did what he did and his devotion to pray. I want to submit to you a couple things on the screen. Is that the disciples noticed his priority in prayer. His priority in prayer. He put prayer first. We'll talk about when he prayed in just a few moments. But they noticed this. They noticed this. The disciples noticed his passion while he was praying. His passion. He just wasn't praying, not when I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die when he's awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Come on. They're not praying, no. I prayed that, Brother Ed, when I was a little kid. Because the church I went to said, this is how you pray before you go to sleep. And I'm kind of going, that's how you pray if you want nightmares all night. Dear God. Dear God. I might not make it to morning. I'm 6 years old. Jesus. I'm sleeping with my parents tonight. Come on, everybody. They saw his passion while praying. He prayed different. And just lastly, they saw his persistence. They saw his persistence to pray. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. So the disciples come to them, and they, notice what they say. They call him, Lord, Lord, which is important. Lord, I recognize your authority. I recognize who you are. I recognize that all power is yours. I recognize that who you are is what you have because God's anointed you. I'm calling you Lord, Lord. So that, you know, how you speak and how you call, who you're calling to and praying to is going to determine where you bow your knee. Amen. Am I bowing my knee to myself? I'm kind of like praying to God, sort of, kind of, but really I'm praying to myself. Or am I submitting my life praying to the Lord God of heaven and earth? Lord, they say, teach us, teach us. We come humbly. We don't know everything there is to know about prayer. We come expectantly. We're coming to learn from you. I pray this week, you can't get over this. I pray this phrase wakes you up in the middle of the night. Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray more effectively. Teach me how to pray that I can be used by you in the realm of prayer that sees people's lives changed. Teach me how to pray. I believe this with all my heart, is that Jesus' public life was the result of his private life. We live in a day, we live in an age, come on, young people, we're talking TikTok sensations. Come on, you're hot today, you're gone tomorrow. You're a thing now, you're not going to be a thing in 10 days or maybe 10 minutes. But Jesus is coming and Jesus has got a public life because he's got a private life. If you want to have something to say in public, you're going to have to spend time with God in private. If you want to have answers for what's going on in your confused job situation and your bosses don't know what to do, how about you get alone with God and say, give me some wisdom like you gave Joseph interpreting a dream, oh God. And let me be able to stand before the Pharaoh and say, here's the plan of God, and watch God elevate you. Come on, everybody. Something to say in public because you've been alone with God in private. I believe this with all my heart, that we can see that the miracles that Jesus did in public were the result of his private devotion to God. It's what happened. It was an outflow. It wasn't just all of a sudden God, Jesus shows up and he's healing people. There was a cause and effect. He spent time alone with God. If Jesus, listen to me, if Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, needed to spend time with God the Father, how much more do you and I? To see him help people, to see him bless people. I believe everybody in here, the hearts are the same. We want to see God show up, not only in our own life, but hopefully we're praying beyond our four and no more, that we're praying for beyond our house and beyond our walls. We're praying, as Kimberly said, for our church and our city and our state and our nation and the world and things that God puts on our heart. And we're asking God, intervene, intervene. And so when we do this, we're saying, God, I want your will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not just for my benefit, but for the kingdom will and the kingdom expansion. Can I get an amen in the room? Listen, when you pray, pray the word over people. Come on, pray what God said in his word over people and over situations. When you pray, listen, this is how you can pray effectively. Jesus was, I guarantee it, if you were hanging around listening on Jesus, Jesus is going to be praying scriptures from the Psalms. Jesus was going to be praying scriptures from the Torah. Jesus was going to be praying scriptures from Isaiah. He was going to be praying the word of God. Man. So what am I saying? One thing I'm saying, don't pray your feelings. Don't pray your emotions. Don't just pray out of your own head. Don't pray out of your family background. Pray the word. Come on, pray being led by the Spirit. Come on, his word is his will. Pray the word of God. Find a scripture about your kids. Pray it. Find a scripture about your spouse and pray it. And not one like, you know, when Judas hung himself, so I hope they do it. Nothing like that. Come on, everybody. We're not twisting scriptures here. We're going to pray the will of God. We're going to pray the blessing of God. Come on, everybody. We're going to pray the kingdom of God from heaven into the earth, in people's lives, your life included. But something happens when a person prays for somebody else. Guess who gets benefited also? The prayer. The prayer can never not receive benefit from God. You'll see God work in your life. You'll see peace come in your life that hasn't been there. You'll see the purpose of God start to unfold and just germinate. Listen to me. I'm asking you, be more devoted in prayer. Don't tweet it. Don't post it. Don't complain to everybody else. Pray about it. Pray about it. When does the Bible record that Jesus prayed? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever looked at that? Four Gospels. Since you haven't done it, I've done it for you. Just mess up. I'm a little ornery today, I know, sorry. When Jesus prayed, look on the screen. He prayed at his baptism. At his baptism. Notice this, the heavens were opened. The Father spoke a word of affirmation to him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember that? Before a miracle, before a teaching, before a healing, before a blind person opening, God the Father says, that's my Son. I'm well pleased. Listen to me. Take heart this morning. You don't have to do anything to gain God's love. He loves you because you're a son or a daughter of God. Come on. Jesus prayed at his baptism. Jesus prayed before choosing his 12 disciples. Before choosing his 12 disciples. I would encourage you. What does that mean? Hey, I got a huge decision to make. I've got a huge decision. I've got a lot of people following me. He prays. He prays. One translation says he prayed all night. And he woke up in the morning and he chose his 12 disciples. Got a major decision? Don't know where you're going to go to college? Don't know what to do with the next season of your life? How about you give it to prayer? And not just try to come up and Google it or just try to come up and ask MD it. How about you ask Jesus what's going on and pray? Before Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, both times the scripture says he prayed. He took what was given to him, the five loaves and the two fish, or the two fish and the five loaves, whatever what it was, and he looks up to God and he blesses it and he prays. Lord, we got hurting people out here and I want to be used to be a blessing to hurting people. Amen. He prayed on the Mount Transfiguration, remember? He went up to the Mount Transfiguration. The Bible says his whole appearance was glowing. Peter, James, and John are there, and they're going like, oh, my goodness gracious, we can't believe this. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah showed up. And these brothers saw it. Let me tell you what, when you enter into prayer, you're going to start seeing some things and hearing some things you couldn't hear otherwise or see otherwise. God's going to give you like a mini vision. You'll see something on in here. You'll see yourself doing something. You'll see yourself blessing somebody. You'll see yourself speaking somewhere. God will show you things to come. Jesus prayed at Lazarus' tomb. Lazarus was one of his friends, Mary and Martha, and a brother, Lazarus, and he died, and Jesus doesn't show up till 4 days later, and the brother's dead in the grave and stinking, the scripture says. And listen to me. This is the natural application. What's the spiritual application? You will come to times in your life that are dead, ineffective, and stinking. And you go, looks like it's always going to be that way. And God is saying, would you pray about what is dead? And would you give me the opportunity to raise it from the dead? Come on, everybody. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Impossible situations, crazy situations, pray. I heard a story about a man, he's a minister, and his son, he got word that his son, I think, was in a terrible motorcycle accident or something, and the son was actually dead. The son was dead for almost an hour, I think. And the dad, full of faith, comes in, listen, crazy story, and says, I refuse to believe he is dead. No pulse, brain, no nothing. He comes in there, he starts speaking life over his son in the middle of the ER. And listen to me, the son came back to life. The son's still living today. The son's serving God today. The son's married today. He's got kids today. I'm just saying, what would happen if we would pray about everything? Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, surrendered to the Father's will. Not my will, your will be done. Have you ever prayed in your Gethsemane like that? I don't know what to do, Lord God. I'm in a struggle. It seems like you want me to go that way. And can I be honest with you, Lord? I don't know how you talk to the Lord. I'm going to be honest with you, Lord. I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to forgive that person. I really want to slice their tires. But we've got some detectives and police officers in here, so that's not a good thing to do on a Sunday morning. So, not my will, your will be done. How about one of the most challenging of all? Jesus prayed on the cross. He prayed on the cross. In the middle of heartache and pain, difficulty, sorrow, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You got to learn how to pray in these situations. When did Jesus pray? We see this when the Bible records. How about specific times? Notice on the screen. He rose early in the morning to pray, Mark 1. He would withdraw from people and pray in a lonely, deserted place. You got to pray with all your friends around? You got to learn to pray alone. He prayed all night, Luke 5. He prayed all night. He prayed after healing the multitudes, Mark chapter 1. He prayed before walking on the water to save his disciples when the boat was sinking. He prayed, the Bible says, for his future disciples, which was us as well, in John chapter 17. He constantly had a life and a lifestyle of prayer. And my plea to you and my plea to me is that if this was Jesus' devotion to pray, and this is what he did in spending time with God the Father, his Father, how much more do we need to do this as well? Jeremiah 29, verse 7. A time when the nation of Israel had been captive and taken away captive by Babylon. It's going to tell us this. It's already been prophesied. It's been going on. It's been said by the prophets of old, and they're living in the middle of it. It's going to be an awful time. It's going to be an awful time for a bit, 70 years exactly. In Jeremiah 29:7, God's word through the prophet Jeremiah to the people is this: seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. Notice this, you're captive, but I want you to seek the peace of the city and pray to the Lord for it. Pray to the Lord for the city. For in its peace, you will have peace. Verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. God's word to the nation was, you're going to be carried away captive. Why? Because they rebelled continually against God. The Babylonians are going to come in. The Chaldeans are going to come in. They're going to take you away. And it's going to be a 70-year process. Not everybody's going to make it. People are going to die there. But there's going to come a time that I bring you back out of that, bring you back into your own land. This was all done because of Israel's constant rebellion and hard-heartedness and stubbornness to God and his will and his word. And the nation had been taken away. They're there in Babylon. It's a different culture, different language, different customs. But God's word to them in that awful environment was, seek the peace of the city where I plant you. When you seek me, even in this situation, you're going to find me if you search for me with all your heart. I just think that most of us think that I can only pray to God and I can only like hear God, and it can only be good if everything's good going on in my life. That's the complete opposite of what this scripture tells us. Listen, you have to learn how to pray and believe God in difficulty. If you never learn how to pray and believe God in difficult situations, you're never going to see breakthroughs that can only be attributed to God and his spirit and his power working in your life. You got to learn how to pray like Daniel before the lion's den. You got to learn how to pray like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before getting thrown into the fire. Anybody can pray when it's going good. Can you pray when it hurts? Can you pray when you don't see? Can you pray when the more you pray, the worse it gets? We've all been there. If you haven't been there, you're young, you will be there. Where there's no turnaround, and yet you come again and you say, Lord, again, not based on my feelings or my emotions or what I've seen or haven't seen. I'm coming to you based on your character of who you are. You are good and you hear me and you're watching over your word to perform it. So I'm coming again today saying, God Almighty, I trust in you. Can I get an amen in the church? Amen. You have to learn how to pray and believe God in difficult situations. Well, I know this with all my heart, is that when you pray, listen to me, when you pray, God finds you. When you pray, God finds you. It's like a beacon. It's like a honing device. Come on, it's like a, what is that thing that Apple's got, the Apple tag? Come on, you travel somewhere and you go, you know what? The luggage is kind of suspect when I'm traveling now. So I'm going to take an Apple tag and put it in the bag because I know if they say it, I'm going to be able to know exactly where my bag is. Come on, Kimberly's got an Apple tag on me called Life 360. Come on, somebody. It's an app. So I'm like back somewhere. All of a sudden, Pastor Kimberly says, hey, where are you at? I'm going, what do you mean where I'm at? Are you like the Holy Spirit? No, I got Life 360. Oh, dear Lord, help me here. When you pray, listen to me. When you pray, God finds exactly where you are. We've been saying this for months now, is that this phrase, that God comes where he's wanted. And so we're just simply saying, I want you, Lord. Come on, I want you. Anybody in the room like that? I want you. I need you. I got to have you in my life. I haven't seen everything that I believe to see. I haven't seen it all line up with your word and your will and what the scripture's saying. I'm telling you, I want you. The Spirit and the bride, Revelation 22, say, come. We as the bride of Christ, the Spirit is saying in us, we want you. We want you. Come. He comes where he's wanted. Man. You ever show up at somebody's house and they told you to come over there at a certain time and then you rang the doorbell and you're out there for like 5 minutes before they open the door? And what you hear behind the door is scurrying around of little feet and the plates are clanging and the vacuum cleaner comes out and I'll, come on, you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you don't, but as a pastor, I've witnessed that a couple of times in my life. You come over there and all of a sudden, this is back in the day, all the people start hiding the movies that they had out. Come on. The TV goes off, you know, from listening to some crazy talk show and all of a sudden it comes on the Christian channel, you know. All we're saying is, God, I want you. I want you. I expect you. I'm come. Teach me how to pray. Come. I want to be used by you. I want more of you in my life. Anybody like that? Yeah. Prayer brings into the present what God said would be in your future. So we see what God says in his word, and we say, I don't have it right now, but I believe because what you said in your word is I could have it. So I'm praying now that what's going to happen in my tomorrow, in my hour from now, in my week from now, I'm praying that that is going to be in my future. 1 Samuel chapter 1, it's a crazy story, bunch of story. I'm not going to read all this because it's just lengthy, but I'm going to ask you before the week's over that you read 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's a phenomenal story about a man named Elkanah, and he happened to have two wives, and that's trouble already. But in the Old Testament, we saw that men had multiple wives. And when they had multiple wives, they had multiple trouble. Can I get an amen from all the women and the men? He had two wives. One's name was Peninnah and the other one was Hannah. We know Hannah because she sticks out. But I want to talk to you for a moment about Peninnah. I think that was her name. Peninnah. Forgive me if I don't know how to pronounce that. The Bible says that she could have children, but Hannah was childless. She was barren. And barrenness in that day was always looked upon that God's made me barren. God's judging me. The scripture says this in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6, speaking of Penaniah, I think her name is, forgive me. We'll just call her Mrs. P from now on. It says her rival, it's her coming against Hannah. Her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, different translations, to irritate her and to embarrass her because the Lord had closed her womb. This is exactly the plan of the enemy in your and my life. The devil wants to back you and I into a corner and make us look like nothing's going on. God hasn't heard you. God's judging you. Remember when you did that? Remember when you said that? Remember the divorce? Remember the sexual altercation? Remember the lying? Remember the stealing? Remember all the stuff you did? God will not hear you. The enemy comes at you like a rival, provoking you severely, irritating you, trying to embarrass you and your testimony. Verse 7 says this, so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, Hannah, that she, Peniah, Mrs. P, provoked her. Therefore she, Hannah, wept and didn't eat. What's interesting, we talk about this. What's interesting, it says Peniah had sons and daughters, sons, plural, daughters, plural. That means she had at least two sons and had at least two daughters. She went up every year to the temple to offer up sacrifices with her husband and with this other woman called Hannah. And she would come every year and provoke and irritate and harass and demean her because she couldn't have kids. How long did it go on? At least two sons, at least two daughters. Women, I'm thinking this has gone on for at least 5 years. At least 5 years. Maybe longer. How long will you cry out to God? How long will you pray to God? How long will you say, Lord, teach me to pray? How long will you say, come, Holy Spirit, come Jesus in my life. Scripture says this, look on the screen, verse 10, her response, her intensity of her prayer, she prayed to the Lord. Verse 12, she continued praying. Verse 15, she poured out her soul to the Lord. Verse 8, she wept. Verse 10, then she wept in distress because of her barrenness. Verse 10, it says she was grieving in bitterness of soul. Verse 16, she called her prayer anguishing before God as my complaint and my grief. Verse 8 and verse 15, she fasted from food and from wine. And the scripture says, finally, the priest was there, Eli, and he came over and prophesied to her and said, God's hearing your prayer. And the scripture says, in 9 months' time or less than a year, she had a son, and his name was Samuel, the greatest prophet, one of the greatest prophets after Moses in the Old Testament. Listen to me. Your prayers need your persistence. Listen. Someone said this, I wrote it down, I put it on the screen for you. You have to have a conviction of your barrenness and your powerlessness in your life without prayer. You have to have a conviction. I can't get this job done. This thing is too big for me. I don't know how we're going to get it done. I can't figure it all out. You have to have a conviction of your barrenness. I can't produce a child. I'm powerless to make this happen. I'm powerless to change my teenager. I'm powerless to work in the work environment. I'm powerless to change my boss's mind. I'm powerless, but I trust God that you have all power. Can I get an amen? Come on, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Band, come on up here and help me, will you? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Different translations. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Pray constantly. Pray regularly. Pray all the time. This is what we do. This is how we act. This is how we respond to God. We just keep praying. We don't get quiet. We don't get tired. We don't get negative. We don't say God didn't hear. He hears you when you pray. A couple weeks ago, we looked at a scripture in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus speaks a parable to them. And he said that men ought always to pray, not lose heart. Different translations. Men ought always to pray, not lose heart, not give up, not quit, not grow weary, not be discouraged. Is this you right now concerning your prayer? You just kind of going, prayed about it once, prayed about it three times, prayed about it. I've been doing this for about a month and nothing's happened. Has anybody ever been like me and you thought that, you know, I'm gonna start eating good. I'm gonna eat good. And then for lunch, you went crazy. No tacos. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing no tortilla and beans and rice. I'm going organic. We're going organic salad up in here. We're gonna get a little salad. We'll get veggies. And then after you eat, you know, later on the day, you go upstairs and you look in the mirror and you go, ain't nothing changed. You got to stick with it. You got to persist. You got to persist before anything's going to show up. Come on, let's be people that persist in prayer and see God come working in our behalf. To lose heart means that you give up your motivation to prayer. Just, I've lost my motivation to continue. I don't see the result. And the scripture says this, that Jesus goes on in this parable and he tells us in verse 7 and 8, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he'll avenge them speedily. This is a crazy part of scripture. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, but God's time isn't your time. So how speedily you need it and how speedily he needs it doesn't always measure up. But he says this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? God calls you his elect. God calls you his chosen. God calls you his sons and daughters. He's adopted you into his family. And what God's concerned about working in us is that, can we stand in faith? Can we persist? Can we say, Lord, teach us to pray? Can we say, come Holy Spirit? Can we say, God, I invite you in my life, and I don't know all that what that means. I've got situations again, and maybe you've got some prayers that you need to dust off again, that you've let your voice grow quiet and silent because of maybe weeks or months of things not happening like you thought they should happen. Well, hear me, listen to me today. I'm here today to tell you again that God has heard, and I believe with all my heart, God is answering. And things are changing right now. And there's tidal waves. Listen to me. There's tidal waves getting ready to happen. Listen, I just sense with all my heart, it's like these little waves that come in on the shore. And then you see, like you've seen probably on some clips and whatever on social media, some places in the world, whether it's in Hawaii, Maui, and these big waves that come and the surfers do it. Listen to me. I'm just telling you, there's a tidal wave of God's goodness and glory, his salvation and his deliverance coming to our church. Come and listen to me. Coming to your life, coming to our city, coming to our state, coming to our nation. Listen to me. As PK said a moment ago, God's on the move. Come on, everybody. Come on, God's on the move. Come on, God's on the move. Come on, stand up with me. Would you do that this morning? I'm going to ask you this morning, we're going to do something just a little bit different. All over the room, you're just saying this morning, I want a renewed hunger and thirst for God in my life. I want a renewed hunger and thirst. I'm asking God that he pour his spirit out on me again afresh today. That's what Jesus said in John 6. If anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. come to me and drink. He says, I'm the bread of life. You're hungry? Come to me. You're thirsty? Come to me. The earth, the world, your past, your situation can't satisfy you, can't pour life into you. I am living water, Jesus says. Come to me and drink. All over the room, we're going to sing, we're going to worship. I'm going to ask you that you leave your chair. If you need to leave, we're going to dismiss the service to anybody who wants to leave. You can go downstairs, get your kids. Their staff will be ready for you. But if you're just saying for the next couple moments that I'm going to press in with God and I'm asking God to work in me and to work in my situation again, I believe with all my heart God is going to show up for us in a new way. I love this scripture in Psalm 56. It says this. It says, the very day I call for help, the tide of the battle changes. It turns. My enemies are going to flee from me. This one thing I know, it says, that when I pray, when I cry out, I know God is for me. The very day that I cry out for help, God shows up. The battle turns. Over and over, we see scriptures in the Old Testament where they would cry out to God and God would change them, change the battle in just an instant when they began praising and worshiping God. I believe God's going to do it in our lives. I believe God's going to do it in our families. I believe God's going to do it in our city. So come on, all over the room, if you're hungry for God, if you're thirsty for God, come on, leave your chair, make this an altar here. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. Let's ask God to come work in our life. Let's ask God to move in our life. Father, we're asking you. Lord, we'll come to you right now. We're asking, we're hungry again for you, Lord God. We're asking you to pour out your spirit on us, oh Lord. Father God, we're asking you to move in our situations again today. We're hungry. We don't know how, oh God. We don't know how you're going to do what you're going to do, Lord God. But we pray. We pray. We ask you, Lord God, for your word to burn again in our heart, oh Father. Lord God, would you go before us, oh God? We're asking right now in Jesus' name that there be a spirit of the living God fall fresh on us. Fall fresh on us. Come on, let him hear you this morning. Come on, cry out. Cry out to him. Oh God, we need you. We want you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you, send the rain. Send rain, oh God. Send rain, oh God. Freshness in our life, oh God. We cry out to you. We cry out for our children. We cry out, Lord God, for our spouse. We cry out to you, Lord God. We need you, oh God. We need you, Lord God. We need you, Lord God. We want you again in our lives, Father. And so we're pressing in right now. We're pressing in. We're coming again as the elect, as children of God, as your children, Father. We want you. We want you. Come on, we want you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on, let him hear you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Tears of joy, tears of sadness. Tears, oh God, weeping Jesus, like Hannah. Here we are again. The enemy provoking, the enemy irritating, the enemy harassing. Jesus, but Lord God, your word is true. Your word is true. Your word is true. Oh Lord, we come today. We come today. We come today. Trusting you. Trusting you. Asking you. Needing you. Wanting you, oh Lord God. Father, we pour out our heart as Hannah in anguish of soul. Don't let the enemy triumph over us, oh God. We trust you. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives and our heart, oh God. We ask you, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, for your peace. We ask you, Lord God, for your comfort. We ask you for your help. We ask you for a word in season, oh God. You said that your word would goad us, your word would hold us, oh God. Father, we pray that. We pray that. We pray that. We ask that, Lord. We hold on to you, oh Lord God. Father, we feel like we're in a boat that's sinking sometime, but we say you're walking on the water. We see you, God, coming. You're coming. You're reviving. You're working us and through us, oh God. We see you. We're asking. again today. Your children were coming before you, hungry, needing, oh God, desirous. Father, we bow our knees, we bow our heart, we bow our will. Not our will, your will be done. Not our plan, your plan be done. We surrender our life again today, oh Lord. We surrender. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your desire. We say yes to your call. We say yes to you, Jesus. Lord God, this morning, bring healing, bring deliverance. Deliver your people this morning, Lord. Deliver your people this morning, Father. Deliver us from ourselves, we pray, Lord. Deliver us from our past, Lord God. Father, we pray, break the hold of the enemy. Break the hold of the enemy. The lies, the aggression of the enemy over our life, Lord God. We're learning how to pray in times of difficulty. Father God, in pain, in trouble, that we look to you, Father. We need you. We need you. We need you. Father, we pray. We repent, Lord God, all over the room. We repent, Lord God, for prayerlessness. We repent. We repent for callousness, Lord God, in our own lives, just concerning spending time with you. Help us, Lord God. Help us have a hunger for prayer, a hunger, a passion for prayer. Father, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us, oh God, a desire to search and to seek you with all of our heart. You said if we do, we'd be found. We'd see you. We'd know you. Lord God, I pray in Matthew 21, as we read, as you came into the temple, Jesus, and overturned the tables. Lord God, overturn things in our life that don't belong there. We want you. We welcome you, Lord God, in our life. Help us see. Help us walk in the way you want us to walk, oh Lord God, we pray. We pray. We repent. We change our mind. We change our direction. We refocus our life on you, Jesus. Not my will. Come on, pray that. Not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done. Come on, say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, a new way in my life. Come, come, heal every part of my life that needs to be healed. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Let me hear you in a new way. Come Holy Spirit. Help me yield to the Spirit of God. Come Holy Spirit. Help me yield to Jesus. Help me yield to the Word. Pour out our heart to you, Lord God. Lord God, this morning, Lord God, this morning, we come before you as your children in desperation and need for you. We need you in this hour. We need you in this time. We need you in this situation. And we're asking you, reveal your truth and your word to us, your Spirit, your good Holy Spirit. Come, Lord God. Come, Lord God. We cry out to you, the living God. You're the living God. Surrender. Come on, right there, all up at the altar in your seat. Come on, take another step of surrender. Of surrender. I surrender my will further. I surrender. I give up this. Father, you've been speaking to me about this. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I yield. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I repent. I change my mind. I'm changing my direction. I surrender. Not my will, your will be done. Not my plan, your plan be done. Not my purpose, your purpose be done. season of new directions, oh God. We hear these new directions. We hear this new counsel. We hear the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We hear the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We hear the voice of the counselor, the Holy Spirit. We hear the voice of the teacher, the Holy Spirit, teaching us, speaking to us. We hear, we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Lives to you. Our devotion to you, Lord God. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Cause a separation to happen this morning, oh God, from the contamination of the world in our life. Father, forgive us from worldliness. Forgive us for carnality. Forgive us for pettiness. Forgive us for sin, oh God. We confess known sin. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. We repent for prayerlessness. We repent. Not spending time in your word, we repent. And we receive forgiveness. We receive grace to help us in a time of need. You're the God of all grace, the God of all comfort. This morning, bring renewed comfort of the Holy Spirit to our lives. Break our heart for what breaks yours. Pollute or contaminate. Addictions, struggles, things of the flesh. Lord, today we're asking, wash us clean. Wash us clean. We repent. hurts, all the fears, all the worries, all the anxiety, all the what if I do this? What if I go all in? What will happen? What will my friends think? What will my spouse think? What will happen at work? If I go all in, you'll be a vessel of honor. You'll be a vessel of honor. Chosen, fit for the master. Me. Who do you want me to be? What's your call for my life? Jesus, you called the 12 disciples from their business, from fishing, tax collector. You call us from something into something else. Let us hear your call. Let us hear your will. Let us hear your voice. We say yes, Lord. Come on, just answer that. We say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. Whatever it is, I don't even know what it is, but I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. Yes to your will. I don't know what it looks like. Come on, church, all over the room. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our answer, our heart says yes. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, the rains came, the floods, come on, winds blew, come on, our house built on you, come on, our house is going to be built on him, our life going to be built on him, come on, going to be built on you, Lord, not going to be built on ourselves. Going on right now. Come on, just listen with your heart. Your heart's being plowed up. That's what the Spirit of God does. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. Sowing righteousness, reaping mercy. Break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Until, Hosea says, our hearts are being plowed up. So that the seed of the Word of God, the very life of the Spirit of God, can begin germinating in us in a new way. He causes our life to be more and more productive. Your life's not over. It's not done. I don't care how much you've messed it up. It's not over. I don't know how many times you've turned your back on Him. Peter did, time and time again. But Jesus kept coming. Listen, He's coming again today. Your heart turns towards Him. He comes where He's wanted. He comes where He's wanted. You come like the rain, like the former and the latter rain to the earth. Come and bring refreshing, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Come on, all over the room, lift your hands. Would you do it? Come on, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We receive this morning. times of refreshing. Times of refreshing.